Welcome to the We Like to Say We're Experts podcast, where we go over noteworthy news, pop culture, and everything in between. And now, your hosts, Evan and Nicole.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Wizarding World Week with Nicole and I. Nicole.
Yes.
I have a quick question for you.
I might have an answer.
What is the best part of dodgeball?
Not getting hit with a dodgeball.
Close. It's when there's a jailbreak. And speaking of which, today we're going to be going over the third Harry Potter book and movie, Prisoner of Azkaban.
We are, but before we go over that, we're going to start off with some fun news stories today. So the first one was making the rounds on the internet last week, and I think I sent you this story, and I was like, we need to talk about this. Because imagine one day in the future, you're telling your kids, how did we meet? How did mom and dad meet? Well, these two people met when both of them stole cars and then crashed into each other. So this happened in Oregon. It looks like there was a report of a stolen Toyota Land Cruiser stolen by Randy Lee Cooper. And after taking Cooper into custody, the police realized that the second car was also reported stolen that was in the crash. The driver of that car was Kristen Bega. I'm probably mispronouncing that name. But I just think it's funny that, like, there's a car accident and both were stolen cars. Imagine they, like, fall in love now.
I was gonna say, there's someone out there for everyone.
How I Met Your Mother.
Spoilers.
How is it a I'm talking about This Is How He Met the Mother.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen the show.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a tie-in. No. But yeah, no, I thought this was really funny. Like, what are the odds?
That they're, like, both stolen.
Like, you're getting into an accident with someone that is also stolen.
Well, from stealing cars to stealing Evan's heart, Star Wars announced there's a new TV show coming out next year in 2021 called Star Wars The Bad Batch on Disney Plus. Now, I never watched Clone Wars, so I have I have no idea what this is a reference to, but why don't you enlighten myself and the listeners?
Okay, so in the last season of Clone Wars, right, the first few episodes start with Rex getting help from the Bad Batch, and they're basically a bunch of clone rejects that have more or less a particular set of skills, like pseudo superpowers.
Okay.
Like, there's the obligatory really big, strong, dumb guy. There's the sniper guy. There's the tech guy. There's the cool guy that's the leader because he's cool. And he probably had the most pogs on the playground as a kid. And I think the most important thing is at the end of those episodes, I'm actually really glad they came out with this. The TLDR, if anybody watched Clone Wars, is, what was his name? I think his name was Echo. I'm pretty sure. It was like one of the clones' nickname. Mm-hmm. And then he like supposedly died in one episode. But then he was found later hooked up to a bunch of machines in one of the Bad Batch episodes. And he ends up joining them at the end of it.
Interesting.
So since this is going to take place after Order 66, presumably it will be weird fun shenanigans. But also that begs the question, why didn't they have the inhibitor chips in their brain?
I have no idea what's happening in this conversation.
I got questions.
Okay.
I want answers.
What are the questions?
I want to know, why don't they have the chips in their brain? Even though they're rejects, like, presumably they all have them implanted for Order 66. Unless Echo used his computer smarts to get rid of them. Maybe we'll have answers. Filoni, if you're reading, please let me know.
We're going to have to wait until next year. So I can't give you an answer right now.
You can hear me rant about it next year if anyone's still listening to me at that point.
Yeah, I have no idea. But it's going to be another animated series. So
I hope it's in the same vein. Clone Wars is really good.
It says it looks like it's going to be, they're kind of like, linking up with some of the people that animated the previous one.
I like the way the Clone Wars looked. It has its own distinct style. You know, it starts out really rough, especially if you watch the movie that kicked it off. I think it was in 2007, maybe 2008. But it's definitely rough around the edges. But then it gets really smooth, especially by the last season, and, like, it looks good. And, again, like, something about the style of it that's really nice to me compared to Star Wars Rebels, which I'm partway through the first season now, because I didn't really want to watch it before, and I don't know how I feel about it. I definitely dislike the animation greatly, and I kind of hate the main character.
Oops.
Because you go from Clone Wars, which is really fun, because you got, like, Kenobi, you got Anakin, and you got all these clones, which is super cool. And then in Star Wars Rebels, it's like this... It's like this emo teenage kid who's a Jedi. And he's like, I just want to, like... I don't know. It's a lot of... It's like a lot... It's like an after-school special, basically. He's like...
Doesn't mix with Star Wars.
No, he's, like, stealing for himself, and he, like, only seemingly wants to help himself at first. And he's just really annoying. I think a lot of the characters are annoying.
Yeah.
I kind of hate it. All right, we got there. I kind of hate it. That's why I haven't finished it yet.
Well, I have not seen either, so I have nothing to weigh in on this.
Would you like to make a bet? I will watch every season of a show you want if you watch every season of Clone Wars.
Let's see if we do the Twilight versus Turbo Kid first, how that works out, and then we'll...
Do I have to watch all the Twilight movies?
No, just the first one.
That's fine. That's doable.
Yeah. Let's tackle that, and then we'll go to the next one.
Okay. That's
one thing at a time.
All right. Pending wager.
Yeah, pending. But from Star Wars to Harry Potter, we're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, we're going to discuss Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. We got our time turnout just for this occasion to go back to 2004. Now, you may be thinking, the third one came out in 2003. You're wrong. They skipped a year, so we had to wait 2 years in between Chamber of Secrets and Prisoner of Azkaban. So we're going back to 2004.
Did we?
We did. Huh. I looked it up. I prepared for this.
You
unlike
did.
Some people.
Unlike this guy.
Just kidding. JK on the check.
JK lol. I'm actually... Okay, no. I think I saw up to the fourth movie.
The Goblet of Fire.
So I definitely saw this one, Prisoner of Azkaban, in theaters.
Okay. Came out in 2004. It was the first Harry Potter film to be released in IMAX, because I think that's like when IMAX was starting to become big, so...
Go to Jordan's Furniture, see yourself some IMAX.
What?
Do you know what Jordan's Furniture is?
I do. What does that have to do with IMAX?
They have IMAX.
For the furniture store?
Yeah.
What do you watch? Furniture movies?
you watch real movies. It's like a... It's kind of like a carnival inside. Have you ever been to a Jordan's Furniture?
I remember we went to one when we were looking for a new bed, but I don't remember the movie theater there.
They had like popcorn and stuff in the lobby, and I think it was upstairs to go to the movie theater. I can't quite remember. But yeah, it's like they do anything to pull people in to buy furniture.
Huh. Maybe that's why they're... Furniture is so pricey because they have to pay for all the gimmicks. You're paying for all the gimmicks.
And they also have to pay for all the mattress scientists.
Oh, yeah.
That we visited. But this is a bit of a tangent.
Lulz.
But TLDR, if you go to Jordan's, you're going to have someone wearing a lab coat tell you to stand up against a mattress to see if it feels good.
Weird.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't. Instead, watch Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah,
much
you feel
more
better.
Enjoyable time.
So the movie starts out where it's the summer after Harry Potter's second year. And he's back with the Dursleys, the horrible, horrible Dursleys. And he gets to meet, or we get to meet, essentially, Aunt Marge, who is, what's the guy's name? There's Petunia, and what's the uncle's name again? Man, I already forgot.
I want to call him Richard, but I'm just thinking of the guy from...
Vernon.
Keeping Up Appearances.
It's Vernon. I looked it up. Yeah, so Vernon Dursley... it's his sister, Aunt Marge, and she's a piece of work.
She's rude.
I feel like if she lived in 2020 in the U.S., she'd be a Trump supporter.
Probs.
She's just, like, that kind of annoying, like, fake news kind of person.
She's so mean.
Yeah, she's really mean. So she ends up, like, making these, like, weird remarks about how Harry Potter's parents were, like, drunks, even though that's not relevant to, like, anything. So
She's essentially like, ha ha, your parents died. And then Harry's just there like, I just wanted to have dinner, y'all.
Yeah. So he ends up losing his temper and she ends up like inflating like a balloon and flying away. So after that, Harry's like, F y'all, the Dursleys, and I'm leaving. So he ends up fleeing. But he ends up fleeing like down the street to the bus stop, which is weird to me when I was watching this movie because I was like, why didn't Vernon just go get him? Like, he literally was, like, down the street. It wasn't like he ran far away.
It's like a kid when he runs away. He's like, I'm
not far.
Didn't you run away as a kid?
I ran away to my next door neighbor's house.
He brought a backpack.
Full of books. Yeah. Hey, I was 7 years old. That's what was important to me.
It's true.
Anyways, this large three-tower, three-decker bus ends up coming by. It's purple. It's called the Night Bus, but not night like the sky. Night like you're wearing armor.
Got a sword.
It's like a bus that only wizards and witches can see. And it takes him to the Leaky Cauldron, where somehow the Minister of Magic is, like, waiting there for him, Cornelius Fudge. He's like, we know you used underage magic, which is forbidden, but you're Harry Potter, so you're fine. And his best friends, Hermione and Ron, end up coming to this place. And Ron Weasley's dad was like, Harry, I have to talk to you. And I gotta tell you something you're not supposed to know. You know how you've seen all those posters about Sirius Black, who's like a convicted murderer and supporter of Voldemort? Well, he escaped Azkaban, which is like a magic prison. A, no one's ever done that before. And B, he's out to get you. So, enjoy school! Bye!
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. But no, don't worry. There's protectors at the school now. Everything's gonna be fine.
Why don't you explain how those protectors work?
Once upon a time, J.K. Rowling decided demons should exist in the wizarding world of Harry Potter. And we were given Dementors, which are floating, ghastly, spooky creatures with terrifying mouths that literally suck all of the good memories and presumably soul out of someone, given enough time. They're horrifying. Especially looking at this for a kid's book, it's like, yep, that's not okay. That seems bad.
Scary at
what
all.
Do you do if you're an evil wizard? You suffer, like, real bad.
I mean, you kind of deserve it.
What'd you do, though?
If, like, you murdered someone.
Yeah, but what if you were just, like, I don't know, peddling.
I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that. Stupid. I'm talking about, like, murder.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. That's pretty harsh. Pretty harsh. If it murders so bad, just give them the death penalty.
That is their death penalty.
But that's, like, worse, though.
It's magical.
That's terrifying! What's magical about death?
I meant, like, it's magic related.
A slow one where your soul gets sucked out. Yeah, I don't know. Between that and the fact that they employ these things, they're like, yeah, you know what? We're wizards. We can do anything. You know, we can time travel. We shouldn't, but we can. You know, we can teleport through, you know, fire, and we're gonna employ these ghastly floating creatures to just sort of have at it at people we don't like.
I mean, it was like a convicted murderer. It's not like they're just, like, setting him up for no reason.
But he didn't do it.
But we don't know that he didn't do it yet.
Well, I know, because I actually read the book.
Okay, well, the audience of the book and the movie does not know that yet, Evan Bowman. No, he doesn't find out till the end that he's his godfather and he, like, didn't kill anyone.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about now. Everybody knows.
Right, but I'm saying, like, when you watch in the beginning, like, you're like, oh, yeah, this guy deserves it because he literally murdered someone, like, he helped Voldemort murder Harry's parents. So, of course, every year you're going to be introduced to a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher because no one can hold that job down.
Keep quitting.
And this year we get Professor Lupin, who I think was a student of Hogwarts. We're going to find out he knew Harry Potter's parents because everybody at one point went to, like, school with Harry Potter's parents. You're going to find that out. And he teaches Harry that he can repel a Dementor with the Patronus charm, which essentially, like, you summon this creature that's, like, a symbol of you, and it, like, shoots the Dementors away. Like, it banishes them. So that's going to come back into play. And then we also learned that the Hogwarts groundskeeper, Hagrid, is the new Care of Magical Creatures teacher, but he's not really a good teacher.
He's not a bad teacher.
Malfoy's
a bad student.
Okay, Malfoy is a bad student, but in his first class, he decides to bring in a hippogriff. Do you remember what three animals a hippogriff is?
It's a lion, right?
Yep.
It's a lion. It's like a falcon or some shit, an eagle.
And I think it's something with a hippo, right? Because it has hippo in the word?
I don't believe so.
Oh. I genuinely don't know.
I'm going to
check. Okay, you look that up on the side.
If you look at it, a hippogriff consists of nothing.
I don't know. I thought because of the name.
Hippogriff. A hippogriff, also spelled hippogriff and hippogriffy, is a legendary creature, supposedly the offspring of a griffin and a mare. Like a griffin, it's the head of an eagle.
What the fuck is a griffin?
A griffin?
Yeah.
It's like a griffin.
I don't know what that means. Like, is it a bird?
It's also like a fake. No, magical creature. Sorry, not fake. like a griffin, it has the head of an eagle, claws armed with talons, and wings with feathers, and a hippogriff is that. That's what a griffin is. And because it was also griffin and a mare, it has the body of a horse.
So it's like a bird and a horse.
Bird horse.
Okay.
Called a borse.
What?
Called a herd.
Where do you get a herd of horses? Where do you get hippogriff? Okay. I digress. But anyways, so this is a fun fact I learned when I was researching this movie. Just like Dobby, obviously the buckbeak was not there, so they had to, like, fake it. So they just took, someone walked around with a stick with a beak on it. I'm not joking. It literally was like, I'm buckbeak. And that's how the actors knew, like, where to act. Just remember, like, that's your job with a stick with a beak on
it.
That's
really funny. They could have just put, like, Malfoy's face on a bucket. I think that would have been really funny.
Yeah, I just think that's funny. Another fun fact that I forgot to mention was the actor David Thewlis, who plays Professor Lupin, the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. He actually originally auditioned for the role of Professor Quirrell in Sorcerer's Stone, but didn't get it. And I guess they were like, we got a part for you. Just hold on a couple years.
That's kind of weird, like, interview. Well, yeah, kind of interviewing for that position. And then it's like, oh, we'll see you in...
I think that's cool.
3 years.
You have... But Quirrell's only in one book and Lupin's in a couple.
Is he?
Yeah, he comes back.
Spoilers.
Honey, I'm not... Did you really not know that?
I kind of forgot. But okay. I kind of figured it
I'm not... Back. Here's the thing. I'm not going to spoil anything that I think will ruin the ending for you. That, like, you might not know.
I accidentally spoiled it myself last night watching a Watch Mojo.
Well, then spoilers are turned off. Everything is spoiled.
I played myself.
All right.
I guess I'm also like a million years late to the party.
Spoilers are off. So,
I like this movie.
So let's go back to Hagrid. Why he's a bad teacher? So he's got the burst.
We got herd of horses.
Right, and he doesn't. I don't know. It ends up attacking Draco, and I get that Draco like provoked it. But Draco's dad, who we met in the second movie, is like, fuck everything, and Buckbeak gets sentenced to death. That's gonna come back later on. So, in the middle of the movie, we learn that the Gryffindor fat lady, which is the portrait of literally, like, a fat woman in front of the Gryffindor common room, and you have to, like, say a password to her to get through, she ends up being found missing, and when they find her, she says, Sirius Black was in the castle, but what are the Dementors doing? So that's kind of weird. And then also, during this point in the movie, Harry ends up getting... I forget where he gets it. He ends up getting the... What do you call it? The Marauders map?
Marauders map?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct.
It's definitely Marauders
okay.
map.
So he...
Georgian...
Where does he get it from?
It's George and the Weasley
Okay,
brothers.
I couldn't remember. So he ends up getting it, and then they don't really mention this in the movie, but it's really important in the book. So you see on the Marauders map that it says Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs. They casually, like, throw that line out, but it's really important in the book, so I thought I would just go over that really quickly. So Mooney is a reference to Lupin because he's a werewolf. Wormtail is a reference to Peter Pettigrew, who we're going to talk about.
Rat's tails look like worms.
Yeah, because he can turn into a rat. Padfoot is a reference to Sirius Black because he can turn into a black dog. And Prongs is a name of James Potter, Harry's dad, who can turn into a stag, which is like a deer, and it refers to the antler. So that's just kind of important. Another thing they glossed over with the whole Marauders map and the ending of it is... the reason the shack underneath the Whomping Willow was built, that it's called the Shrieking Shack. They don't talk about this in the movie, but the reason that no one goes in that shack is because it's haunted. Everyone's like, oh, it's haunted, don't go in there. But it wasn't actually haunted. What happened was they found this house when, like, Harry's dad and all these people were back in school, and they basically spread the rumor that it was haunted so Lupin could use the house to transform into a werewolf. So when they heard his werewolf, like, howlings, everyone thought the shack was haunted. And no one was going to go in it.
That's so clever.
Yeah, but they, like, don't really talk about that. So I just kind of thought that that was important to mention. Another thing that kind of got glossed over that I wanted to mention was... So Sirius Black, they say, breaks out of Azkaban in the movie. But they never mention in the movie how he broke out. They just mentioned that it's impossible and no one's ever done this before. So for those who are curious, I went back and looked into the lore because I wanted to remember.
Yeah, how do you do it?
So he did it because it says it's established that he's only able to escape because he became so thin. And once he was so thin, he turned himself into a dog. And the dog was thin enough to get in between, like, the bars of the cells. Second point to that is Dementors can't sense animals. They can only sense humans. So once he was able to get out as, like, this really scraggy dog, he was able to escape. And that's why when we see him as a dog in the opening, when Harry's at the night bus, he's kind of like that big, scruffy dog. Because he's probably, like, malnourished and just escaped Azkaban. So I just thought that was... That was a
pretty convenient way to get out.
Important to mention. Because, yeah, they kind of, like, gloss over that.
It's like, yeah, he got out. He's dangerous. Better watch out for him.
Yeah. So, probably the most important part of this movie is everything that really happens, like, in the back 40. So...
Back 40?
Like, the last 40 minutes.
Huh.
You never heard the expression back nine? Like, the last nine holes of golf?
Oh, yeah.
So, I was just using that. But for Harry Potter. I know. I got you. So, I'm going to try to do my best to explain this because even though I've seen this movie and read the book 1,000 times.
Can I try to explain it?
You try to explain this.
All right. So, this is what we got. We got Lupin, who's the werewolf. Lupine means werewolf. So, we got him. We got Sirius Black. And we got a bunch of dumb kids known as the Immaculate Trio. One of them's holding a rat. So,
who is this rat?
This rat is Peter.
No, but what's the rat's name?
Oh,
you're failing at your hair.
Chuckles.
Scabbers.
Scabbers.
That's important. We met him in the first movie.
Yeah, but nobody cares.
I care.
You care about a rat?
I care about the lore. Okay, continue with your story.
Anyway.
I care about the lore. It's all important.
TLDR.
Except Cursed Child. We don't talk about that.
They end up looking around. I forget why exactly they're outside.
You're
they
go to already the, forgetting, like,
and they go to
so
the,
many important
there's
things.
There's the Whomping Willow, right? And then Sirius Black drags Ron into it, and they end up in that the curse.
The Shrieking
Shake Shack. And this is where it all goes down.
Okay.
And it's kind of, the way this scene plays out is kind of dumb, given their intentions. But you got Ron holding Scabbers.
Yep.
Starts freaking out. You got Hermione and Harry that end up showing up. And you got Sirius Black who's there. And then Harry's obviously very mad at Sirius because he thought Sirius killed his, or told Voldemort where to kill his parents and betrayed his parents. And then Lupin shows up and is like, don't do that. Like, Sirius, good guy. Stop.
Yeah.
So, the way that Sirius and Lupin, like, say their intentions that Peter Pettigrew is a rat, they could have said that at any time. They could have been like...
I get why they're doing it, though. They're trying to build it up.
It doesn't make sense. It's dumb suspense. When you take the logic of what you're trying to do, it's like, Peter's a rat, he betrayed your parents, Ron's had, like, this 40-year-old man sleeping next to him for 12 years. That's all he needed to say.
I love the line when Lupin's like, didn't you realize why, like, a common, like, garden rat has been alive for, like, 13
like years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. But no, like, the way this whole scene plays out is, like, that happens. They end up turning Peter back into a person who looks disgusting.
And looks like a fucking rat.
Looks like, I mean, if you've been a rat for 12 years, you're gonna take on some rat-like qualities. But no, like, I don't like the way this scene plays out. I think it's dumb.
I don't think I'm upset about it as much as you are.
It's really ham-fisted. They could have said one line like 8 different times. It could have been like, "No, Harry, the rat is the bad guy. It's actually Peter who did yada yada." Instead, they like. Are really vague and stretch it out for a while just to pad another 5 minutes into the movie.
I mean, yeah, but then Snape comes in.
How did Snape get here? How did he submit to Whomping Willow? How did he know where to go?
Because he knew about it because he went to school with, like, Harry's dad and all these people when they
How
were in school.
How did he know to go then?
I don't know.
He doesn't have the map.
I think he was following Lupin, if I remember correctly.
It's
he was like,
because
he knew something was going on. So we find out in the same scene that, so we find out Peter Pettigrew didn't die.
Nope.
He was the betrayer. Sirius is a good guy. We also find out that Lupin's a werewolf, which Hermione knew because she's like, you always miss class when there was a full moon.
Yeah. She was like, I knew after Snape gave us one assignment because I'm the smartest woman in Hogwarts.
And then Snape comes in and they're essentially like, okay, what we're going to do, they disarm Snape.
Harry disarms Snape by shooting him into a bed that falls off.
They're essentially going to be like, okay, we're going to tie Peter Pettigrew up. We're going to basically go to Dumbledore, have Peter say that he was the bad guy, and then Sirius's name will be cleared. Harry can, like, live with Sirius when he's not in school. Great. So they get out the Whomping Willow. They leave the shack. They're outside the Whomping Willow, and because a man who's been a werewolf for, like, 40 years apparently can't fucking track his cycle like a woman tracks her period, he forgets, sorry if that was TMI.
That was aggressive.
But he forgets that it's the full moon, and all of a sudden he's like, like, literally, come on, women take birth control every day. You can't fucking take your potion? I digress. This is a total man thing.
Also, I agree. Like, why didn't you just drink the potion?
Yeah, fool? Like, it's not that difficult. People take...
Supposedly, he never drinks his potion because he always has to miss class when he's a werewolf.
No, he still turns into a werewolf. He just doesn't become aggressive, I think. If I remember correctly.
That's dumb.
I'd have to double check the lore. But, anyways. So, what ends up happening is... Peter ends up escaping, and then they put Cyrus in, like, a jail cell in Hogwarts, and Harry ends up almost getting killed by the Dementor, but he sees this, like, glowy stag thing, and he thinks his dad did the Patronus charm, which, like, this whole thing makes no sense to me. He's like, it was my dad! And I'm like, your dad's dead. Like, Hermione's like, the boy died. Even, like, he dead.
Hermione's also like, I don't think your dad's coming, Harry.
So they go back to the hospital wing, and while Ron is recovering, because I think he got, like, scratched or attacked during this whole thing, here comes the biggest, like, clusterfuck that they try to explain. Weird. Time travel and Harry Potter.
They explain it.
I got some questions. Let's go over what happens real quick.
Can I give
you
my take?
Yeah, you give me your take first. All right.
So we see throughout the movie Hermione showing up into class supposedly out of nowhere. And it turns out it's because she's using a time turner she got from places unknown.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ever divulged, at least in the movie, how she gets it. So basically, she's messing with the laws of wizard physics.
In the book, McGonagall, I think, gives it to her so she can take more classes, if I remember correctly. So that's just not explained
in
the movie.
Trusting a child.
Yeah.
With time travel, which, as we've seen from many movies, can go horribly wrong. But eventually, Dumbledore comes in and his usual real coy self. He's like, yeah, you shouldn't, wizards shouldn't mess with time, but if they were, you know, we'd be back by the three strokes of the bell, and also, that's not the only life you'll save. Wink! Hippogriff! Wink! So then Harry and Hermione end up traveling back in time. They go, they save Buckbeak, who is gonna be executed, but instead they free him, and then they end up going and, you know, calling Lupin away so he doesn't wreck the shit out of Sirius like he does in the regular timeline. And then they go up and then they free Sirius, who's captured, and then they ride on the Hippogriff because movie.
And also,
before I jumped ahead, that thing I mentioned where I don't think your daddy's coming, Harry, comes from, there's a scene where it's Sirius and Harry getting attacked by Dementors, and then the stag comes out, but it turns out it was just Harry back in time that summoned the stag to save Harry. But then if Harry never went back in time to summon the stag, then Harry wouldn't. Anyway, the point is, time travel bad.
So I think when I was rewatching this and then I was doing some research, because, like, I was really confused about time... A, what time travel theory they use, and B, like, why didn't he just go back and, like, prevent Voldemort from killing his parents? One, it looks like they use the loop theory, which is, like, if you notice, like you said, Harry basically saves Harry, like, they're basically completing the loop. Like, they can't change things, they have to go back to that exact point in time and, like, follow things exactly. Also, a little bit of research I realize is that there's a couple things I learned, that there's one point where Hermione notes, I forget what book it's in, it might be the third one, that wizards who meddled with time travel too much will go insane, so they discourage you from, like, using it a lot. And also, because it's the loop theory of time travel, if Harry went back and saved his parents, that would have to mean that in the current timeline, his parents never died. Like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like...
Yeah, eventually you create a parallel timeline.
Right. And, like, that's not possible in this universe. The time turners are going to be destroyed later on. So, like... Really? You said spoilers were off.
Spoiler? What movie is it?
Do you want to know?
Is it just the next one?
No, it's the fifth one. They end up getting destroyed in the fight in the Ministry of Magic. When they all go look at the privacy. Yeah, they're all gone.
They only made, like, four of them?
Honey, it was hallways of them.
They only made, like, hallways of them? Oh, God.
Anyways.
Let's go to Gringotts. Somebody probably put it in the safe deposit box.
No. Also, we don't count Cursed Child and how they use time travel because that's...
Cursed Child.
The play that they did after the seventh movie. Huh. They use time travel in it, but it's different. It doesn't count, so...
Okay.
We don't care about that. So two more small things I wanted to point out that were differences from the book and the movie. And the end of the movie, when Harry gets the firebolt because his old Nimbus 2000 broke, it's kind of like this unknown source. But in the book, there is a note saying it's like from Sirius. So it's implied in the movie, but it is actually like said in the book. And the other thing that I thought was kind of funny is in the movie, Harry and Hermione go after Ron when he's captured by Sirius and dragged towards the shack. They do this by managing to cling onto the branches of the Whomping Willow. But in the book, this actually happens because Crookshanks gets involved. So it's later explained in the book that Crookshanks, who's Hermione's cat, and Sirius have struck up a friendship. And then Crookshanks basically like helps Sirius get into Hogwarts because, like, they're doggy and cat friends. I just thought that was cute, and it was left out.
Cuter than what we saw.
Yeah.
Why do they have Whomping Willows?
I have no idea.
This is something that will actually crush you to death because it wants to, because you're even close to it. And there's a bunch.
To, like, protect something, obviously, which is the shack.
Yeah, what about the other one in the middle of the grounds for no reason from the last movie?
That's the same one.
No, there's two different ones. The other one was, like, inside the Hogwarts grounds.
I'm pretty sure there's just one.
I think there's two.
We're going to double check before we record next
time.
There's
just one that it definitely moves.
I think there's just one.
It's two.
So the third movie was directed by Alfonso Cuarón. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that name. So when he took over the role the end of 2003, he wanted to have Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, and Emma Watson, who play the three main characters, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, to really understand their roles better. So he had them write an essay from the perspective of their characters. And this was actually a test, and they all passed, he said, according in this interview that I read.
I think I heard that.
So he said, because Watson, in true Hermione fashion, wrote an extremely long essay that ended up being 16 pages. So she did something very Hermione-ish. Radcliffe wrote a pimps up a one page, and he was like, yeah, that's what Harry would do. And Rupert Grint never turned his in because he said Ron would do the same. Like, he was kind of like the lazy, bad student. And they were like, yeah, that's what your characters would have done. You understand them. So let's go film. So I just thought that was really, really funny.
I want to be Ron. This is great.
So as we've mentioned in our last episode, Richard Harris passed away, who played Dumbledore in 2002. So they had to recast Dumbledore between 2002 and 2004. They originally approached Ian McKellen, who was famous for portraying Gandalf in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
But when asked why he didn't take the role, he said, I've had enough trouble living up to one legend and getting crap for being in Lord of the Rings. Two would be too much for me to try to do. Meaning, like, how can you be these two powerful wizards? Like, you're going to get people that are like, you didn't do it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I already did my one fantasy character. Like, that's enough. And I like the actor that they picked for Dumbledore. I do not remember his name, but
he's
really good. So, I just think that's funny that he basically was like, nah, I already did the wizard thing.
And
like,
it's gonna dilute it too, because then you have
you think they're like the same person.
You got Lord of the Rings and your Harry Potter,
right?
Two different wizards.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he made the right choice.
One of them's clearly better, but I don't know which.
It's Harry Potter.
Sure, Dumbledore.
Yeah, Dumbledore's awesome.
Dumbledore does.
Yeah. And then we found out he's gay after, because, you know, J.K. Rowling's just like, he was gay. Didn't you guys know? It was obvious the whole time. And we're like, what does that have to do with
anything? I thought he was just being a principal the whole time.
Also, like, his sexuality never comes up. Yeah, no. He's not married, but, like, doesn't mean he's gay.
He's just the best wizard in town.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Well, I think that's all we have for today, but we will be back next week with Goblet of Fire. Evan, is this the last movie that you saw, Goblet of Fire?
I'm pretty sure Goblet of Fire is the last one I saw, because I don't think I saw five. I'm pretty sure... if I remember correctly, so I didn't read the sixth book, and I think I saw one less movie than the books I actually read. So that would be the fourth movie being the last one I saw. Also, this movie was not as good as Chamber of Secrets, throwing that out there. No basilisk.
I don't know, I really liked it.
No intrigue.
I thought it had a lot of good plot lines.
That was good.
I think I'm going to wait to grade them at the end. Like, I want to rewatch them all. I'm not saying you can't have Chamber of Secrets, but you haven't even watched half of them. How do you know?
I'm grading them on a basilisk scale. This one has zero basilisks.
We go back to the Chamber of Secrets. Does that matter?
Maybe.
Okay, so can you hold your horses?
Yeah, but we didn't go in this movie, so it was worse than two.
Okay, but you can't say that, like, the second one is the best if you haven't seen them all.
I can say whatever I want.
That's like saying jelly donut is the best, but I've only had jelly donut and Boston creams.
I got a few bones to pick with that.
Boston creams are the best donuts, hand down. And if anyone disagrees, you can at me. And it's not because we live in Boston. This is how I felt before I lived here. Good night, everyone.
Boston?
No, you can go. Sorry.
That's actually just going to be it?
No.
Boston creams are good. Okay, don't get me wrong.
Your favorite?
Love a good Boston.
You tell me what your favorite is.
My single favorite donut
is crap. Whatever it is, go ahead.
It is crap. Let's see. Shout out to Gordo's in Austin, Texas, because they have really good donuts all around.
But what's your favorite, nice, like, big, singular kind?
Singular kind. Okay, I'm gonna have to go. It's the classic. It's the chocolate frosted with sprinkles. It's from this bakery that doesn't exist anymore, O'Brien's.
I knew you were going to say that. That doesn't count.
Why doesn't that count?
Because it's not open. You have to... It doesn't count.
What is your favorite donut? This is my favorite donut. That doesn't count. I'm sorry.
Did they have Boston creams there?
I'm sure they did.
Were they good?
I don't know if I ever got one. That usually wasn't on the Sunday order list.
Evan sucked, apparently.
I'm sorry.
You should take a time turn and go back in time to try the damn Boston cream.
Ugh.
And then you can at me. It's the best. I'm sorry.
Why?
Because it has filling, it has chocolate, and it's a donut dough.
There's like three kinds of donuts that have that.
And this is the best one.
I prefer chocolate cream filled.
That's fine. And that's fine. It's okay for you to be wrong. Like,
no,
I've accepted it.
Actually, the Krispy Kreme Twinkie filled donuts are the best.
Again, it's okay for you to be wrong. I've accepted it. But anyways, I think that's all we have for today. So we'll see you next week when we watch The Goblet of Fire.
Please feel free to at my co-host Nicole to let her know that there are better donuts out there. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to our show. Make sure to like our Facebook page through our link in the show notes or by searching We Like to Say We're Experts on Facebook. See you next time.